Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, January the 18th, 2022. 15 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time. Don't forget today at 2 p.m., Adam the Computer Guy, and at 4:10 p.m., Voice of a People with Linda Sims. So tune in to both of those programs. We thank Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler for coming on in hour number one this morning and giving us an update to what's going on in Marion. So we thank Tracy Kinsler for that. Now, an interesting event, and I'm not sure how this is going to work now because there has been a cancellation, but we'll figure that all out here this morning. This is new. We are joined by City Councilman at Large, Brett Cornelius, who's going to talk a little bit about the city charter system that he talked about during his campaign this past fall. And now that he has assumed office as a City Councilman at Large, this is a continuing issue, and there was supposed to be a meeting tonight. But Brett, where are we at with that?
Well, Gary Hunter, who is the attorney that's coming up to advise us about all the steps that it takes to get the city charter, was snowed in. He's in Athens. So he got snowed in, and he's not going to be able to make it tonight. So I'm checking with Kai Mead, who is the Codes and Legislation Committee Chairman, and we're going to try to reschedule him as soon as possible.
So what would tonight have been?
Gary is with the Ohio Attorney Municipal League, and they have helped a number of municipalities in Ohio obtain a city charter. And so he would have explained the process, what we go through to get it, kind of what it might cost us. Give us some of the details, give us some of the reasons why having a city charter is advantageous to municipalities or counties. In Ohio, you can be a county or a municipality and have home rule. So you can have a city charter, a city constitution, or a county charter. And so he would have given us all the information about that.
Now, this was a big issue with your campaign in the fall. When did this become an issue with you?
I was told, maybe a year ago. It's one of the reasons I decided to run. I was told that Marion was a statutory city. And when I was told that, I said, oh, what's a statutory city? Yeah. And they said, well, it means that the rules for governing Marion come from the Ohio General Assembly. And I had been asking a specific question about our charter. And because I just assumed that Marion had a charter. I thought any city had a charter. I thought that was the essence of self-government. And then they said, well, no, we're a statutory city, and that means we're governed by the state. So I thought, that doesn't sound right to me. When you give up on the idea of local control and local government, you're put at the mercy of people who are, you know, live way outside of Marion. We have, in the General Assembly, we have 132 General Assembly members between the Senate and House. Marion, the residents of Marion, get to vote on two of those. So we get a state representative and a state senator. So that means we really don't have much control over what's going to happen at the state level, including what rules the state makes for city government. If we have a city charter, then every resident of Marion, every voter in Marion, would have at least four members represented on city council, four out of the nine. So you get the three at-large, and then you get your ward councilman.
Now, has Marion always been a statutory city?
Yes.
Now, Over the course of time, how have the rules for Marion changed because of the General Assembly?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know the history of what they've passed at the General Assembly. So I couldn't tell you how they developed along the way. I just know that the state makes the rules.
Now, just my understanding, because a lot of people, I think, are interested in this. Now, the pay raises, the general salaries for city council people, mayor, law director, those are set locally.
Yes.
Okay. That's not coming from the General Assembly, even in statutory city.
Right.
And also, as far as the number of council people that we have, to my knowledge, that has never changed, or at least hasn't in the last 70 years.
Yeah. That is set locally.
Right.
In fact, based on the last census, this city council is going to be rezoning all the wards. Or can.
So what, aside from pay and people who have positions in the city, and also, I think, positions in the city, because wasn't there a combination or a separation of the service director and the safety director a few years ago that was done on the local level?
Yes.
So what does the General Assembly control?
It controls all the rules for how city runs the government. So they set up the rules. So essentially, how does a government function? Well, government functions, classically, according to some constitution. And most people, if you're in a church even, I'm a pastor of a church, we have a constitution for our church that tells us how to run the church. So most organizations have some kind of organizing document that prescribes the rules for that, for how you govern that organization. And cities are no different. Cities are, they're subject to the state, and they're a corporation, and so they have to have the. So what, essentially, what happens is, it's the General Assembly that kind of sets our constitution, right?
So what would be something here in Marion that was set by the General Assembly that affects the citizens?
Okay. A number of things.
Okay.
Number one, the budget process. So I took my council seat on January 1st. And although they had been working on the budget for the last couple months, and there were some snags because of, change in auditor and all, we couldn't, by law, pass that budget until January 1st. So we got the budget on, I think, the 16th, where we were able to look at it. I was sick one of the meetings, so I didn't have any input at all into what that budget was going to be. I didn't even get a chance to stand up and voice my opinion after the budget was complete. So when we got there on January 1st, that budget had to be passed. We could have voted, and I did, by the way, vote no on the budget for a reason. But we had to have it passed because all the city salaries, police, fire, sanitation workers, all the city workers, if we hadn't passed that budget, then they wouldn't have got paid.
What if it hadn't been passed?
Then the city would have shut down. So by state law, we're coming in, and on the very first day, we have to have all this prepared and ready to go. And on the very first day of our office, we have to pass that budget. And it's the first time that we get to offer amendments, right? And I tried offering an amendment. I had the authority to offer an amendment, and it wasn't. I won't go into all that.
Interesting.
This budget. So if we had a city charter, for instance, we could say that the budget for the following year is going to be done by the end of October. That way we have enough time to look at all the provisions. I had a lot of questions about where capital improvements and capital expenditures were going. And I didn't get many answers. I didn't get very clear answers. I had questions about city debt. I had questions about the deficit. I had a lot of questions that couldn't get answered that day. And remember, this is January 1st. Everybody wants to go home and eat pork and sauerkraut.
You know, one of the questions I think people are having right now is clearly the budget that was put in place by the previous council.
I mean, it was framed
right.
In some ways by the previous council.
Because the new council members were not sworn in until January the 1st.
Right.
So the budget that was placed in front of the new council members had been framed by the previous council members. I would think in any situation, charter or statutory, that's going to be a difficult issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't know what the General Assembly was thinking.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're not allowed to vote before January the 1st?
No.
They have to vote on January the 1st.
They have to vote on January 1st, yes.
So that, yeah, well that, now, the swearing-in day, is that also set by the...
January, yes.
Yeah, so they're saying that basically in every city in this state that's statutory, and there are a few.
Yeah.
Well, there are quite a few.
Right.
That the new council that is sworn in that day votes on the old council's budget, and that happens in every statutory city in Ohio, which are the majority.
Yes.
And they just all go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to frame this, because we did talk with the mayor last time, I think December 28th, and he was talking. He didn't know because it was a new council. Mm-hmm. He didn't know if the budget was going to pass or not on January the 1st. You did not vote for it. Now, what was the reasoning?
Okay. I didn't want anybody to go without their pay.
Right, right.
I wanted to get all the workers' salary and benefits and make sure everything ran. I didn't want to shut the city down. But I did want to know where the capital expenditures were going to be spent. So, and I had some questions about, like, I totaled up from all the departments where, for instance, they all had, like, a fuel and lube charge. The police... They have vehicles, and they have to have fuel, fire department, city sanitation, all the city workers, streets and sewers workers. So they all had to be able to get around, right? So they all, in the budget, in each department, they ask for a certain amount of fuel and lube for expenditures for that. Well, that totaled like $395,000, all the departments. But the city garage... was asking for 400, and I don't remember the exact total now, but something like $480,000, almost $100,000 more than all the departments were going to spend on fuel. I had a question about that, but the reason I didn't vote, so I had these questions about capital expenditures and capital improvements and where exactly that money was going to go. I had an idea of some of them. The police... the locker room, the women's locker room at the police station is in horrible shape. They got sewage coming down through the ceiling. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it's in terrible shape. And so I knew, okay, this is going to be $60,000, $80,000, whatever it's going to be to find this problem. So I knew where some of them were going. I know that a lot of that of those expenditures are going to go toward improving the sewer system, which was one of the issues I ran on. But I had questions about other things. So what I wanted to do, I offered an amendment. I said, I want to pass this budget with all the salaries and benefits, keep everything that the city needs to run, but I want to pass it without the capital expenditures and the capital improvements so that we can look at what's going to be spent, where it's going to be spent, and pass that part of the budget at a later time. I offered that as an amendment, and the council president, Todd Schneider, said that since there was a first and second motion, there was a motion to adopt the budget and a second, and we were at the debate phase, since that was done, I couldn't offer an amendment. Now, how can you offer an amendment to a motion if a motion hasn't been made or seconded? Robert's Rules of Order, I mean, that's just basic Robert's Rules of Order. Any kind of parliamentary system, whenever a motion's made, you should be able to amend the motion.
Now,
so I was told you couldn't. And later I found out he was wrong. I was right, but when I was told that I couldn't offer an amendment, then I decided to vote no.
So let me just get this straight and clear this up for the audience. So what you're saying is you offered an amendment.
Yeah.
City Council President Todd Schneider, who only votes if there's a tie.
Yeah, he's basically the
keeps the meeting going. Yeah. Yeah. Said you could not do this mm-hmm. when you asked because of the readings. So you went ahead and voted for this without the amendment,
mm-hmm.
and then you researched it and found out he was wrong in what he said.
I didn't vote for the budget.
You didn't vote for the budget.
But here's the other thing. I'm seventh in a list of 9 city council members. So by the time it got to me, there were already 6 yays for the...
Did anybody else vote against...
One other person.
One other person. So I guess what...
So 7-2.
Well, I guess the point of this, the heart of this, is so when you found out that what Todd had said, city council president, in an open meeting was wrong...
Was wrong.
Was that ever brought up anywhere?
No, I didn't bring it up afterwards. It was water under the bridge.
Well, isn't that a problem, though?
Oh, it is a problem. And if it comes up again, I'm going to... press them a little bit more. I was coached a little bit afterwards by another council member on what I should have done. And so I think I'm a little more savvy.
So what was... Now, I'm just trying to get this because I'm... was that something...
They hoodwinked the new guy. That's
okay,
what happened.
Well, okay, because this is what I'm getting at. Because this came from Todd.
Yeah.
He was the one who said this.
Right.
Who doesn't have a vote.
Right.
Did he do this because he didn't know? Or did he do this... When you say hoodwinked, did he do this because he didn't want it?
I don't know. Hoodwinked might have been the wrong word to use. Maybe he didn't know, but I find it hard to believe that he doesn't know something as basic as that.
If he doesn't, what does that say?
It says that he's the parliamentarian. He's the president of council. He should know.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting thing. I don't think that ever was reported anywhere.
Yeah.
So, coming into council, this is your first day.
Yeah.
What kind of taste did that leave in your mouth?
A little bitter.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah. Yeah. When it came time when they asked for my vote, I gave a loud no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was a little ticked off.
So... We went ahead and passed that budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when we look at a charter city...
By the way, I was informed afterwards, and this is something else that, you know, as a new council member, I am learning, but one of the people in the administration came up to me afterwards and said, whatever capital improvements and capital expenditures are, if they're over $50,000, then we're going to... have to come back to city council to get that approved. Now, if it's under $50,000, they won't have to come back to council. But if they buy a new, truck for sanitation, then they got to come back.
Right. You know? So when we look at this whole situation, and is that the mayor's administration?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they were.
It's actually Jim Bischoff.
Okay. So when we look at the situation here, a city charter would obviously change how that's all done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, as far as what I have heard about a city charter is that I think the mayor has said this. I think Kai Mead has said this when I've talked to them on this show, that they are not opposed to this,
mm-hmm.
but it's a very lengthy process. It's not something that is done in 6 months.
No, it won't be done in 6 months. Here's what will happen. They've explained it to you, but we have to get an ordinance passed through city council. Once that ordinance is passed, if it's at least 60 days, but not more than 120 days, we have a special election. If we can get it passed before that time limit, say 60 days before the primaries in May... then it can go on the May ballot. Otherwise, it goes on either we wait to pass the ordinance in the fall and so that we don't have the cost of a special election, or we have a special election. Once that happens, once the city approves the ordinance, so the city voters have to approve the ordinance, and then a committee is formed from... the residents of Marion, of at least 15 members, and they have to be voted in. As nonpartisan offices, they're voted in on this charter commission, and this commission works on a city charter.
Now, who votes in these 15?
The voters of Marion.
Okay, so an ordinance first has to be passed.
And approved by the city voters.
By the city voters.
Yeah.
And then the city voters have to go back again and choose 15 people.
15 people for a commission.
15 people for a commission. And then once the commission... Now, the commission comes up with the charter?
Yes.
Okay, when the commission comes up with the charter, then that charter goes in front of the voters again.
Yes.
And if it's voted in then it's it takes effect.
Then it goes into effect.
And how soon does that go into effect?
I'm not sure about that. That would have been a good question to ask Gary Hunter tonight.
So basically, it would have to go to the voters three times at least.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how does an ordinance come up to get it on the ballot initially?
It would get moved through, I think, codes and legislation. It is legislation. So I think it would have to go through codes and legislation. Kai Mead is the chairman for codes and legislation. And then we take it to full council, and once full council approves of it, then it goes to the ballot.
Do you think at this point there are the votes on the full council to get this on the
yes,
ballot?
I believe there is.
There is. Because one of the things that I have heard over the years, because a lot of people have tried to get charter cities,
yeah.
And one of the problems is, number one, the council... because basically you're entering into the unknown. Once you turn this over to the voters, you no longer have a say. Matter of fact, you have no say mm-hmm. in what this charter is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something you don't like at all as a city council person.
That's right.
Right. So city council people, whether they are Republican, Democrat, or independent, don't want to get involved in that because once they turn it over to the voters, they don't even know what they're going to get.
Well, you're turning it over to a commission.
Commission.
Yeah. So those commissioners right. would have to run.
Right. But you wouldn't know who the commissioners were when you did
None
the ordinance.
Beforehand.
Right. So I think that's one of the reasons a lot of charter cities have not went very far.
Right.
And then another one of the issues is once the charter is constructed by those 15 people, just last year we had a very low voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
What year is this going on? Is this going on in a presidential year? Is it going on in a state year? Is it going on in an off-year election? And do the voters even know what the charter says that they're voting for?
Right.
That's been the two failures that I've heard in charter cities.
Right. So there would have to be public meetings, first of all. So once this charter commission gets elected, they have a year to finish their work and get something on the ballot. Which is, I think, plenty of time. What they would do is they would have open meetings, so the public would be involved. And as a council member, as somebody who's interested and has pushed for this, I would definitely be involved in those public meetings and be standing up and giving my opinion and telling the council what I would like, or telling the commission what I would like. So, you know, you'd have to... and of course, also with as somebody who wants to get Marion, you know, here's the principle is I want Marion to have self-government. I want us to control our own government, and I think that's apart from the specifics because I have friends who also want a charter, but they want a city manager. Now, I don't want a city manager.
Now this can get rid of the mayor, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Or limit the power of the mayor.
Or limit the power of the mayor. You can have a strong mayor, weak mayor, or city manager. Now, I'm not in favor. I might be able to be talked into city manager, but I believe in separation of powers. I don't think that the council should have authority over the administrator. I think those are two separate branches of government, and I think it's unwise to put the administration under the authority of a legislative body. But I'm willing to hear their arguments and see what the advantages are. In either case, whether we had a city manager or a mayor, we would have local control over our government. Right now, as I said, we have 132 representatives in the General Assembly. We get two. So as much power as we have at the state house, we have two representatives. If we have a city charter, we'd have a city government where almost the majority of city government would be people you're electing, your representatives.
Well, I believe the night we had the debates back here in October, it was brought up, and I believe Mike Thomas brought it up, and if it wasn't, forgive me if it wasn't him, but that this had been tried in Marion before, that this has been brought up in the past, and it never made it past city council, because city council had always voted down the idea of putting it on the ballot, much like other cities. Statutory cities, because again, of giving that power to other people, because once that goes past city council, they really lose, if the charter city did take, they no longer have any stand, stake, or opinion in it at all.
Yeah. Well, we have the power of influence. We have kind of a soapbox. I assume the reason you would want me on to talk about a city charter today is because I'm a city council member.
Right.
And I have an opinion about local government. So I think we'd still have the ability to submit editorials to the paper, go to news outlets and make our case, show up at the public meetings and, make our voice heard. And all those 15 people that make up this charter commission would be voted in by us.
Well, one of the interesting things right now that this would come up during this time, because I've covered city government for a long time, and I've had this conversation with a lot of city council members, local government really did not used to have the political party you belong to really didn't mean all that much. You could look at a vote on city council and a lot of things passed absolutely unanimously, and a lot of things failed unanimously, and a lot of times it was a completely mixed vote. A matter of fact, when Jack Kellogg was mayor, he was in here back in September, and we were looking back in his day, there are things he agreed with City Councilman Scott Schertzer, the Democrat, on completely, and completely disagreed with the Republican council members.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore. This is... I looked at the votes last year of many, many things that were going on in City Council, and it's pretty well party line.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think I know Jason Schauber did not vote along party lines.
Just at the end, just when it came to the auditor decisions, he was the only one.
Uh huh.
Only one.
Yeah, and I think Josh Feliciano also showed some. At least I don't know what he voted, but at any rate, look, there are things that some of my fellow Republicans I don't agree with them on. Just to be frank, a building code. And I agree with others, Democrats on council that I've talked to, on other issues. And so I think when it comes to local government, we don't have any real divisive issues in Marion. Somebody brought up at the debate about abortion and what our stands were on abortion. Well, there's no abortion clinics in Marion.
Well, this is the interesting thing, and I think this is why it did not used to impact local government. Those national issues of abortion and...
a state issue.
Yeah.
Which it could be now a state issue.
But all those things that people usually bring up in national elections, or even in state elections, those decisions are not made on the local level.
Yeah.
And that's why that the votes have become so polarized on the local level, I'm not quite sure I understand this.
I don't either.
And the press releases I see, and I know you've seen some of these, they are saying the reason you're doing this is all political. It's your political party. It's da-da-da-da-da. And I think I have never, go back in the history of Marion, seen a press release like that from either political party until the last 2 years.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I don't know. That's pretty sad because both Republicans and Democrats have to have their trash picked up. You know, we all want our potholes filled in. You know, I mean, that there may be some things that have to do with maybe how we bring up tax or, you know, maybe the building of a fire department building, you know, putting up a new building for the fire department, that there may be some different concerns about. But, you know, I think for the most part, we're all going to agree we need a fire department. We all want that fire department to have a decent building. We all want our firemen to be paid well and our police to be paid well. But I don't think we have, like, you know, we don't really have, I'm not aware of any complaints by people about the police department or any kind of racial issues, as we've seen in other cities. So I think, for the most part, I don't think there should be any. You know, here's the other thing. If we keep government small and we keep it down to its essential functions, then there will be a lot less partisanship. It's generally speaking, it's when government grows and gets bigger that the partisanship starts happening.
Do you think Marion government has gotten bigger?
Well, I don't know because, you know, my issues, for the most part, I have to be honest, my issues as a voter have pretty much been national, sometimes state. I was, you know, kind of active. I've been active with Ohio gun owners, for instance. So I can't say that I've always paid attention to local issues. I guess that's because I've always been pretty satisfied with what my local government has been doing.
Coming back to the charter city, because I think this is where, honestly, a lot of this will stop or start, is you say you believe the current council that is there would vote to put an ordinance on the ballot.
Yes.
Now, is that talking to them, or is that just an assumption?
That's talking to, well, I mean, I haven't talked specifically about that issue, but I think generally as I campaigned, I felt like there was some agreement between people. Mike Thomas was very against it, but Kai Mead seemed open to it. Kathy Swanger at the time thought she might have some reservations, but generally speaking, she was open to the idea. At least that was my impression. So I'm going off the impression of people that I've spoke to and just kind of informally.
Well, I guess at this point, the way the council makeup is, and again, I hate to even bring up the party issue here, but there are six to three right now?
Yes.
Yeah, six Republicans and three Democrats. So if all Republicans voted for this, when it came to council, it obviously would go on the ballot. Do you feel that all the Republicans would, even though Kai Mead, a Democrat, has said he's interested, if all the Republicans voted, it would not, yes, it wouldn't even matter?
Yeah.
Do you feel they would?
I think, look, we have to make the case of why a city charter is needed. And I think there are several issues. I pointed out the one with the budget. I think that's a huge issue because it speaks to how we organize our city government and how our city government functions. And the budget is right at the center of how a government functions. But there are other things. Oh, by the way, this is a part of the budget process. Do you know the municipal court, the judge, sends an order to city council about what her budget will be?
There was a big hubbub about that 2 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now it's something I recently had considered.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure how that, you know, if you think about separation of powers, our municipal judge has a little bit of an autocracy going on when she can set her own budget. I mean, I don't think that the city council is going to be opposed to suggestions that a judge can make. I'm really opposed to a judge setting an order and ordering the council to pass a certain amount.
In that particular case, two or three years ago, I can't remember how, it may have been 3 years ago, wasn't the whole issue that her budget was cut? So she made the order, but even the mayor was not for her budget. And, and again, her budget, I don't think, ever was brought back to what she wanted.
And I know it was mediated through the Ohio Supreme Court. A couple of our council members represented the council in that mediation. But, you know, I don't like the way that turned out. And one of the ways we can solve that is by getting a city charter that outlines who decides what the budget is. Now, constitutionally speaking, in general, parliamentary procedure is that a legislative body has the power of the purse. And when other branches of government have too much influence on how that's done, then that speaks to a problem with the separation of powers. You know, this is what we have to really make certain that people know when it comes to actually adopting a charter, is there's principles about a charter that have to be passed. And one of those things is separation of power. It's a cornerstone of liberty. Limited government. We have to have specific powers that each branch of government is able to do, and beyond that, not able to do. Do you know that our state, Ohio State Constitution, is unique among all the state constitutions I've read, and I started reading them about a year ago, reading different state constitutions. The Ohio State Constitution has a provision in it that no other state that I've seen, I've read 15 maybe, no other state has this provision. You know, in our federal constitution, we have the 10th Amendment, that whatever powers aren't specifically given to the federal government are left to the states or to the people, right? Now, it's been violated a lot, but it's there and it's in law. The Ohio State Constitution has the same provision. In other words, they've given state government specific powers, things they can do. And beyond that, the state government isn't allowed to do anything. That's something that I feel was violated in the last, well, now almost a couple years, when Mike DeWine, you know, and the health department, the health director of Ohio, started passing mandates, started acting as a legislature, which when you have 132 people as a legislature, that's one thing. But when you have one person who is the legislator, that's dangerous.
Well, this comes to church and state and separation of powers here.
Yeah.
When we look at the charter city issue, now, I have had the mayor on. I believe I've talked to him twice about this, and what he has said is he's willing to listen.
Yeah.
Now, the mayor does have a veto power, is my understanding. We saw this a few years ago. I don't think the mayor has used it very often, but Mayor Schertzer, that is. We saw this with the Aquatic Center years ago. He when they voted it in, he vetoed it. They overrode his veto.
He vetoed the Aquatic Center?
Yes. And Jack Kellogg, by the way, at that point, former Republican mayor, came out and agreed with Mayor Schertzer, said he was absolutely right.
He was right.
Yeah, okay. So, I cut this up. This is how long I've been in city government covering
okay.
this. And this is why I wonder with the charter city, because he vetoed it, and then city council overrode his veto, and he was able to veto it again. And they overrode it again, and he can only do that twice.
Yeah.
So that's what happened with the Aquatic Center.
Right.
I could tell you the year if I actually thought about it, but it's been a few years ago, maybe 8 years ago. Okay, all that being said, if city council passes the ordinance mm-hmm. to put it on the ballot, mm-hmm. I assume the mayor, if he didn't like the idea of that, because to me, in this situation, the person in city government who has the most to lose, not to saying he would or the next mayor would, is the mayor.
Not necessarily. I think in some ways the mayor can be can get more power and run the administration of the city more efficiently. For instance, right now we have an elected auditor and an elected treasurer. If in a city charter those offices became appointed by the mayor, that would give the mayor more control over the administration of the city.
But I think the unknown is the issue, because when you would once you turn it out of your hands and put that ordinance on the ballot, you don't know. And yeah. I think most people fear the unknown.
Well, I think you're right. Here's what it comes down to, and this is from the beginning what I felt. It comes down to self-government. Do we believe in self-government or not? And I am not so much of a control freak that everything has to go my way. If we end up with a city manager, we end up with a city manager. If we don't end up with exactly the way I would like to see things, I think that's still good, because it's still establishing self-government for Marion.
Would you feel at this point, again...
I believe in self-government.
Right. Would you feel that at this point, knowing what the situations are in the city, would you feel that the mayor would go along with this and not use his veto power?
I think he would. Just from things he said in the city.
That he would go along with it.
Yes. I think, look, here's the thing. There's going to be these 15 commissioners, and I'm not sure exactly how this ordinance is going to get structured, or whether or not we will have some kind of, if we can structure the ordinance in a way that the present members of city government have some kind of advisory capacity to the commission. I think that would be a good thing. I think that would give us all who are interested in seeing this happen, give us a little more input and a little more chance to make our arguments. Ultimately, you know, what's self-government about? It's about the ability for you as an individual to stand up and make your arguments about what you think it should be, and then let the others decide.
So a vote to put it on the ballot, a vote for the 15 people who are going to come up with the charter, and then a vote on the charter itself.
Yeah.
This process would take quite a while, it seems like.
From the time of the election of the commission to the time when they submit it to the ballot, it's a year.
So this is going to take...
They have a year. They could do it sooner.
So more than likely, this would take nearly 2 years, this process.
It would take a good year and a half.
Yeah.
I'm convinced, yeah.
So being that we're already into the new council's term, this might not even if it is voted to be put on the ballot by this council, the changes of it might not even be seen by this council.
We could have it done by the end of this council. But even if we don't have it done by the end of this council, we'll be well on our way.
So that being said, how quick are you going to try to get this pushed through the committee to get in front of council to get this moving?
I want to get it done immediately.
So now knowing that we are close to the end of January now, and it will have to have so many readings in front of council if it gets out of the committee,
right?
And the fact that the gentleman couldn't make it because of weather tonight, how soon could this even be brought up in the committee at this point for a vote?
Well, our next committee meeting would be something like February 7th, and then we'd have to, you know, structure the ordinance. I'm hoping to have the ordinance structured and submit the body of the ordinance to the committee for approval or for editing, you know, let the committee kind of hash it out.
Now, we have about 5 minutes left, so I want to go through this part of it because I think this is important. Okay, the committee, before it even goes to council, it has to get out of the committee.
Right.
Who's on this committee?
Kai Mead, myself, and Jason Schauber.
That's an interesting bunch.
Yeah.
Because you have you, who are obviously for it.
Right.
Kai, who says he's willing to listen.
Yeah.
But not necessarily vote for it yet.
Yeah.
And then we have Jason, who, as you said earlier, is the one person last year who has voted against things that
yeah.
people in his party tend to vote for. So do you, Jason Schauber and Kai Mead are where it's going to start.
Yeah.
Just flat out.
Yes.
You have to get one of them to vote with you. Now, if both of them do, good for you.
Yeah.
But you have to get one of them at least.
Well, I have to first get, I think, because Kai will control the kind of the how fast it moves through, I really have to convince Kai at the meeting that we need to move it through as possible, quickly as possible, which means I'm not even sure how the process is for getting it submitted, so I'll have to talk to Tarina, who knows all those kind of things.
Do you believe those are two yeses?
I believe there's at least one yes there. Jason hasn't committed one way or another. Jason is open to the idea, I think.
Has Kai committed one way or another?
Well, no. Let me say it this way. Nobody's committed anything.
Right. So both of them at this point are just saying, I'm willing to listen.
Yeah.
It seems like that's what everybody's saying. I mean, I've heard the mayor say that.
Yeah.
Kai has said that. And now I'm hearing Jason has said that.
Yeah, and that's all been said very publicly.
Yeah. Has anybody said, I'm a definite yes?
Nobody that I know of, although I know that there are others when I was running who said, yes, I would like a city charter too.
And we're pretty sure Mike Thomas is a definite no.
I'm sure Mike Thomas is going to vote no.
Yeah. Okay, so all that being said, the final piece of this...
Oh, he should vote yes.
What is this ordinance that you have to place before Schauber and Mead that would get it put on the ballot? What's in that?
It's going to be the procedure for, the substance of what we put on the ballot, the substance of what the voters of Marion see about adopting a city charter.
So
that's another thing that there has to be some kind of, legal evaluation of the ordinance as well.
So just basic information that we would like to see a city charter go before city council and then possibly end up on a ballot.
Yes.
So it's rudimentary stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So basically at this point, there's nothing in there that is going to change Schauber or Mead's mind because it's just, they know what it is. It's mm-hmm. putting the idea of a city charter before city council. So does that make you uneasy that neither one will fully commit at this point to even that, knowing that there's really nothing in there?
When we're together, so tonight we'll still have our committee meetings, and I plan on bringing my arguments for a charter to that committee meeting tonight. So I plan to do some convincing tonight. And hopefully I can move my fellow members of the committee along.
at this particular point. Now, and at this point, you do hope to have at some point the gentleman who was coming tonight come to council.
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll let people know that way they can come because it will be a public meeting.
Right.
Right. And everybody can ask questions that they would like to ask.
As well as tonight.
Yeah,
so
they can come tonight.
Public meetings. Nothing gets done in secret.
Right. And the time tonight?
6:30. Yeah.
And
6:40. The committee meetings start at different times, depending on the committee.
And that'll be at City Hall.
At City Hall.
On the second floor.
Second floor courtroom. Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting thing because we'll see what happens with it. Is there anything bigger, in your opinion, at this point in the city than this? A bigger issue for you?
I don't know. I guess maybe the city sewers. We're in the middle of a 25-year plan right now to replace these city sewers. I hope that can be sped up in some way, and I think we may have to take some risks or take some additional responsibilities on to do that. But I talk to so many people whose basements are getting flooded; they're losing furnaces, they're losing hot water tanks. That I think that's kind of an immediate thing, although it's not going to be done tomorrow, and it may not even be done in my lifetime. We're at year two of a 25-year plan.
City Councilman at Large Brett Cornelius took office on January the 1st, and the conversation this morning has been about a possible city charter for Marion, switching from a statutory city to a city charter, and there will be a meeting coming up in the near future in which this will be a topic of discussion. So stay tuned. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
In Prospect, And our phone number there is 740-494-2222. If you call and leave me a message, I promise I'll get back with you. God bless everybody. Have a good day, and we'll hear you as you call in and have some questions for us on the radio. And invite you to do that all the time at 740-383-9944.